Good evening. Can you imagine what a friend we have in Jesus? Can you imagine him hanging on the cross, having been crucified by a bloodthirsty throng? And as he's on that cross, he has my name in his mind, and your name, and everybody else that needs salvation, that will claim it through his blood. We can look forward to resurrection. We can look forward to the eternal abode of heaven. And it's all because of Jesus. Let us not forget why we're here. Jesus is our Lord. I was sitting having a cup of coffee at the table, looking across into the kitchen. I noticed the microwave oven, and I noticed on the oven were all the South Side plans. First, a 2-year plan, from thenceforth a 1-year plan from 2012 to now. I looked at those and I said to myself, what a sermon that is. Look at what we've done in the last few years. Look at where we've tried to go. Look at our plan. Look at the words that are used to describe our plans. Look at the scriptures. We'll look at the key words also. So I want to take you back. In 2012, our plan was, let us rise up and build. It starts with the words of Nehemiah, who had, from Artaxerxes, gotten a plan to restore Jerusalem. And his restoration was going to be a marvelous endeavor. And he presented this plan to the people. And the people heard the plan, and they said, let us rise up and build. There are some key words in that passage. I want you to look at them carefully. Let us rise up. We haven't finished that plan. We need to rise up. That means get up off the stool of indifference. It means no longer whittle on the plank of complacency. Get out of the sameness all the time. Find a plan of salvation. Work that salvation for yourself. Rise up. That's a strong terminology. Rise up. Get up. Get something done. Don't be lazy. Don't be slouchy. Don't be slothful. Don't be indifferent. Don't be just somebody who's planned to do better, but be somebody who is better. That's one of the words in there. Rise up, rise up. Secondly, build, build. Building takes effort. I'm not a very good builder. I've told people for years, I've never hit my thumb with a hammer. I don't get that close to the nail. It's just pitiful. I can't fix things, but I try. I wrapped the pipes this afternoon. Can you believe that? All by myself. Norma was just amazed. She thinks all I can do is preach. And she's not wrong too much. But building is something we do. I didn't finish college when I was younger. I went for 3 years to Texas Tech. The Bowman brothers got a semi-hit record about that time. So I left and went on the road and did some other things like that. But I decided in my 60s to go back to school. I went back to University of Alabama. Don't cheer. And I worked hard at it. Every day I'd come in from the office at 4 o'clock. From 4 o'clock to 7 or 8 o'clock, I went to school. I finished my degree. You have to build things. They don't just happen automatically. You take a little bit of time. You take a course at a time. You take a little bit at a time. That's what we do with the Bible classes. Do you see that? We have some wonderful Bible study classes coming up this semester. Things about the character of God and the Ecclesiastes book and things like that that will help us build. All we need is something to build with.
You have to build.
This word right here has an interesting history. It's what unlocks something. If you want to build something, you got to unlock everything and get it ready. Get all the equipment and get it ready. And this idea of word is what opens it all up. And this idea of plan is having some kind of idea, a systematic arrangement of trying to accomplish something. So rise up. Rise up. Get up and build. Make something happen. You can be a better Bible student than you ever deemed possible if you just take advantage of the Bible study classes. It amazes me at how many people want to go to heaven, but they don't want to go to Sunday night services. I've never understood that. I've never understood why people won't get involved in the work of the church and have some kind of an idea that because they attend once a week, everything's okay. It's not okay. The purpose is lost in all that kind of reasoning. We're here, ladies and gentlemen, to build something. To build something. We need to rise up and build. And if we don't do it, we're being foolish to a fault. We need to strengthen our hands for the work. Listen to what it said. Then I told them the hand of my God, which was good for me, also the king's words that he had spoken to me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for the good work. That's imperative. That's necessary. That's commandatory. We must strengthen our hands for the... That means get ready and get up and rise up and build. Okay. That was 2012, actually. Then in 2013, we had a new one. As for me and my house, 2013. It starts with the benedictory address of Joshua in Joshua 24. Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him sincerely and in truth. This is Joshua talking to the people. And put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, whether gods of your fathers serving that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorite in whose land you dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Key words. Key words. Listen to them. Number one, put away. Put away. Take out the trash. Put away the bad stuff. Get rid of it. What inhibits you from growing as a Christian? What gets in your way? Is it your golf clubs? Is it your tennis racket? Is it your friends at school? What gets in the way? Put away the impediments. Put away the contradictions. The things that get in the way of your strength for your service in God. Put away wrong influences. If you're hanging around with the wrong kind of people, just do something about that. Go up to Brandon Starling and say, could I have coffee with you? You can call Bubba. He can have coffee with anybody. We'll have coffee. We have coffee with people all the time. And the conversations are not just about the Astros. They're about God. The conversations turn and go. And someone brings up about this passage or that passage. Strengthen yourself for the work and put away the wrong influences. And then he says, as for me and my house, we will serve Jehovah. Service is necessary. Service means putting yourself at the disposal of somebody else. We're going to serve God in the new year, was our projection. We're going to serve him with all of our being. We're going to put away all the things that get in the way and serve him. Serve him. And then he says, choose ye this day whom you will serve. Choose. Life is all about making choices. You ever notice that? The key word there is choose ye this day. Choose ye this day whom you will serve. You have to make choices. That means that you look at things and you weigh them in the balance and you use the scriptures to balance things. You put the scriptures on this side, what the choice is on the other side, and weigh one against the other. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him minister as of the ability which God supplies, then in all things God may be glorified. That's what you choose. You choose to serve God. And for me and my house, we will serve Jehovah. Is that the choice you made? That's what this plan was all about. Choose ye this day whom you will serve. And then I got one other word I want you to get. Choose ye this day whom you will serve. Will. Will is that part of the man, which we decide. We make choices. Choose ye this day whom you will to serve is the idea. You have to make that choice. And could I say something to you about that? Nobody can do it for you. You can't do it for your wife. You can't do it for your children. Your wife can't do it for you. Your children can't do it for you. It's a personal choice. Everything about the scriptures is individual. I would to God I had the power of communicative skills to get that across to people. You might have some implication of being involved with other people, like the Lord's Supper and the singing and the worship gathering and that sort of thing. But in the ultimate reality, that's a dependent individual activity. It's still the person who chooses to be with the other people. Choose ye this day whom you will serve. You make up your own mind. Everybody decides which way he's going to go. The streets are marked. The Lord said there's a way that's beautiful. It's got big street lights on it. You can see your way very clearly. It's well marked and lighted, and it takes you where you want to go, if that's where you want to go. But there's another street that is straightened, and it's hard street. But he said, choose the one that is hard. It takes you where you need to go. You can't go where Jesus wants you to go when you go how you want to go. You'll take the easy way out. Christianity, hear me carefully. Christianity is not easy. I wish we could get that across to people. But it's worth it. That's the point. It's worth it. So we need to choose carefully whom we will serve. Who will you serve? Remember that story of the prodigal son? He got involved in a pit of ungodliness, and he said, I will go home. He made a choice right then. He chose his father. It was hard for him. He went home barefooted with no clothes on, but he went home because he willed to do so. And you're not going to do the work of God until you will to do so. That means you decide, you make up your mind. I said you make up your mind. That means you take your will and you subordinate your will to his will, and then you proceed along the course of action. You have a plan, but your plan's not worth a flip on paper. It's not worth a flip when you write it down. It's not worth a flip until you say, I will do it. That's the key. Okay, that was in 2013. The key words were put away, serve, choose, will. Then in 2014, each day I'll do. Go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow. We're going to such and such a city and continue there a year, and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what will be on the morrow, for what is your life? It is a vapor that appeareth for a little while, and then vanisheth away. For that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we will do this or that. But now ye rejoice in your boastings, all your rejoicing is evil. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Our choice was, each day I'll do. Each day I'll do. Do you understand that puts Christianity right where it ought to be? Do you understand that it's a day-by-day choosing? It's a day-by-day willful choice? It's every day. You can't have a day off. Too many people are going to go to hell because they took a day off from their religion, and it got them going in the wrong direction. We can't do that. We have to persevere every day. The Hebrew writer says you get your work done while it is called today, for tomorrow's going to come and you're not ready for it. We need to get ready. Right, look at some words, please. You know not what will be. You know not what will be. And you know that's the truth? You don't know when some doctor is going to examine you and find out that you've lived your life. You better hope that you're immortally arrayed when it's time. And you're not going to be that until you choose which way you're going to go. And you have to know not what will be. Know not. Choose carefully. And then every day, implement the plan over and over again. You don't know what's going to be. You don't know if you're going to hit a car. You don't know if somebody's going to hit you. You don't know if you're going to get lazy. You have to persevere every day. It's an everyday activity. Second, what is your life? What is your life? Did the introduction to Ecclesiastes this morning. I'll tell you what life is like without God. It's one big, fat, monotonous bore. That's all it is. Solomon said, I tried it all. I tried wisdom, it didn't work. I tried riches, it didn't work. I tried entertainment, it didn't work. I did all these things. I found out that when you get rich, you make all this money and you work and labor and toil all your life to get it done, and then somebody else eats it because you don't even get it. And he took us through life, and he said, without God, there's just not any substance. It's vanity. It's vain. It's empty. It has no substance whatsoever. We need to understand that we have to be looking for good in life, looking for holiness in life, looking for piety in life, and experiential things that have to do with spiritual inclinations. We need those so desperately. So what is your life? You have to answer that question yourself. Where are you going? How are you going to get there? What is your life? Knoweth to do good, another term. To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him is a sin. To my way of thinking, that's one of the hardest things in the world to keep focused on. Because there are so many times that I feel like I knew to do something and just didn't do it. You ever have that trouble? To him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it's sin. That's a serious charge. We better know where we're going, and we know to do good, and then knowing to do good, do good. It's the activity that counts. It's not the intention. Far too many people intend to be saved. Far too many people intend to go to heaven. Far too many people need to be baptized, and they're going to do it one of these days. I'll get around to it one time. Just don't be in a hurry. Intentions won't do it. I don't care what you intend to do until it's done. It's just done. Just because you got to third base doesn't mean you scored. And we need to understand that that's the case. So he tells us in no uncertain terms, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. That's a big word, isn't it? A selfish choice of one's own person in preference to God. Sin, selfishness. Sin, spending everything on myself. I don't know about you, but I think I have more trouble with that than anything else. I have to watch myself in the Lord's Supper to keep from drifting away, especially if I'm going to preach that morning. I'm working on a sermon. You can't do that. We need to concentrate. Concentrate. That's that word. With center. We need to concentrate on the Lord. Concentrate on his death. That's part of the Lord's Supper. That's what it's for. It gives us spiritual energy. It gives us spiritual strength. It gives us everything that we need to persevere in life's problems. So then, we need to remember that sin is a monster. It'll cause your soul to go to hell for an eternity. You need to not serve sin. So he said, what is your life? It's a vapor. Okay, each day I'll do. Each day I'll do. Will you do it each day? Okay, in 2015, you can tell how far behind I am, can't you? In 2000, my first, I won't go into that. My first choice for a plan was a long time ago. Seek ye first, 2015, seek ye first. For after all these things did the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth what you have need of these things, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Let's look at those words. Seek. Seek. You know what that is? Expenditure of energy. You got to reach out for it. That's what that word means. Seek. Try to get it. Try to catch hold of it. You need to strengthen your spiritual grip. You need to elongate your spiritual length and reach out. He says, seek. Seek those things. That's stronger than just look for them. Seek them. That involves energy. And it involves spiritual energy. And please hear me carefully when I tell you, you can't have spiritual energy without constant refurbishing, constant recharging, constant re-energizing. That's why God gave the Sunday assemblies. We come together for mutual provocation. We come together to exhort one another to love and good works. Hebrews 10:23. And that we need that. We need that energizing. And there's a new automobile out that you plug into the wall, right? We need to plug into the spiritual things of God. And it doesn't make any difference how good the plug is. It doesn't make any difference what you can do. It's what you do with what you got that makes any difference. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Second word, seek ye first. That's a key. It opens the door. Seek ye first. How many is that? It's one. It's no less than one. It's no more than one. You seek first. Number one on your list must be the kingdom of God. Seek ye first. Could you measure that? Can you sit down and put a list, and at the top of the list, you put the righteousness of God, the kingdom of God first? Seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his right-wayness, his piety, his goodness, his benevolence. Seek those first. First. That's number one. It's not a very long list after that, is it? It may be no list at all. But you don't need much of a list after that. The rest of your list is just subordinating yourself to God. It's subordinating yourself in your daily activities, supporting yourself in your work, and supporting yourself with your family. All those things are fundamental, but they're underneath first seeking the kingdom of God. So our plan for that year, 2015, was to seek first the kingdom of God. And when you seek the kingdom of God, it's not just the church. You seek the reign of God in your life. It's like sanctifying God or sanctifying Christ as Lord. You seek to put them first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, his reign in your life. Who reigns in your life? That's what you have to ask yourself. You have to determine who is at the head of the realm in your boat, in your ship, the one you've been given responsibility for. Who's first in that regard? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his goodness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You'll have all you need. God's people don't ever go wanting. If somebody's really bad and can't do for themselves, God's people take care of it. Benevolence is part of what we are and who we are. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Well, that was our 2015. Seek ye first. It's a good one. Look where we are so far. Let us rise up and build. As for me and my house, each day I'll do. Seek ye first. Then we have 2016. Seems like it's just the day before yesterday, didn't it? Add to your faith. According as his divine power hath given us all things that pertain to life and godliness, that by these you might become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside all this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, to temperance patience, to patience godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. That is a terribly pregnant passage of Scripture, and it says a lot. What it says is, add to your faith. You add. You what? You add. Who adds? You add. Who's going to add it for you? Who's going to? He says, add to your faith. Nobody can add that to you. Faith is the substance of things hoped for by whom? By the person who has the faith. Faith is not a brotherhood idea. Faith is not even a congregational idea. It relates to both of them. But it starts in the heart of the individual. Add to your faith virtue. And we've been given everything to do that. Seeing we're compassed about. We're compassed about, all surrounded by all these heavenly things. Seeking these things comes from the provisions that were made for us in the first place. Add your faith. Whoever are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might become partakers of the divine nature. We're given exceeding great and precious promises. And who promised them? God, who cannot lie. God, who says, I'm going to do this if you'll do this. Our relationship to God, as I pointed out a couple of Sundays ago, is a covenant relationship with God, which was commenced in the Garden of Eden. He had a plan, as Brother, well, somebody said this morning, I don't remember if it was Bubba or Jim, but somebody said, it's a covenant that's been around always, before man was even formed. He had this covenant in mind. And our agreement to it is what Jesus' life is all about. He wanted us to agree to the covenant and to obey the gospel and be baptized. That's the covenant. And then continue in your faith. So we have all these things. Add to your faith. Add. I've said to you before, that's a word that's beautiful in the Greek. The original Greek word was epikorgein, which was a chorus director. And he orchestrated the plays. Here he's using that just in that way. Orchestrate your own life. Add to your faith. You add it. You do what you're supposed to do. Add to your faith. Whose faith? Your faith. Could I ask you a question? How's your faith? Where is your faith? Where are you going with your faith? Are you going up or down? Faith cometh by the hearing of the word of God, right? Romans 10:17. How close are you in your intimate association with the word of God? Are you close enough that your faith is being added to? You have to have something to add to. It's all faith. Faith is the thematic that runs all through this orchestration. It's a part of everything else that he gives. Add to your faith all these things. But the thematic is faith. And he said, add all these things to it. And we have to add them. It's my faith and it's my addition. I have to do it by myself. So then, add to your faith, virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience. If these things be in you, key word, in you, how are they in you? Well, faith cometh by hearing the word of God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Who is that for? Well, hope is not for churches. Hope is for persons. Oh, they may be part of the congregation. And it may be something that we hold together very closely, but it's a personal, individual thing. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. Add to your faith all these things. Add to your faith. And if these things be in you, it's your faith. It has to be in you. Your hope. Add faith. Add to faith virtue, knowledge, temperance, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness, love. All of these things are your responsibilities to add. You add them. Nobody can orchestrate your life. You are the director. You orchestrate the life. You point in the various parts of it. You point in the faith and the brotherly kindness and all the other attributes that he mentions there. It's your addition that makes. You orchestrate your own life. So add to it. If these things be in you and abound, it's not enough just to have them. Faith, I've said for years, faith is never dormant. You don't make a foundation and that's all you do with it. Your faith is continually getting stronger or it's not the faith of the Bible. Your faith must continually grow, continually get better, continually get stronger. And again, it goes back to your association with the Word of God. The closer you get to the Word of God, the stronger your faith will be. Your faith in Jesus becomes stronger and stronger as you know more and more about him. As we pointed out at the beginning of the lesson tonight, isn't it a wonderful thing that he knew who I was when he died on that cross? He made a covenant, and he knew who I'd be. He didn't call my name, but he called it later. When I obeyed the covenant, I was put in the Lamb's Book of Life. My name is there. Yours needs to be there too. So if these things be in you and abound, they get better all the time. They make you that you should not be barren nor unfruitful in the word of the Lord. But he that lacketh these things, if you don't make them grow all the time, if you don't add to these things, if you don't add these things to your faith, you're barren, unfruitful, myopic. You can't see very far. You've even forgotten every person you've ever seen. Why would he say that? Because somebody who doesn't grow in the Christian graces and add to their faith all those supplemental things, that person, ladies and gentlemen, is just not impressed with where he came from. He's not impressed with his own salvation. You're barren, unfruitful. You've forgotten the very knowledge of why you were saved. So it behooves us to get to work and fix those things. He that lacketh these things is blind, can't see. We better watch, and we better watch carefully. Well, I have to hasten to 2:17. That was added to your faith. Sanctify Christ as Lord. But and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be ye troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh a reason for the hope that's in you with meekness and fear. Key words. If you suffer, don't worry about it. If you suffer, count it all joy when you fall into divers trials, knowing this, that the trial of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. The fact of the matter is, we ought to count it joy to suffer for God. It makes us patient. It gives us strength. It gives us character. It gives us mobility. It gives us the energy that we need to keep on going. So we must be very, very careful. Suffer if you must. It's okay. Suffer through the storms of life, it's okay. If you're pointed in the right direction, if you're still seeking that kingdom, if you have your eye fixed on the goal, it's okay. If you suffer for righteousness' sake, it's one thing to suffer for sin, another thing to suffer for righteousness. To suffer for righteousness means that you hold God to be dear in your life. You hold Christ to be something very special, and you're not going to turn loose of him. Be not afraid. Be not afraid if you're persecuted for righteousness' sake. Don't worry about it. Keep your faith good and strong. Then he says, sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Sanctify is a word that means set apart. You know what a saint is? A saint is a sanctified one. That's what we are. We're set apart. You know what set apart is? Ecclesia, those who are set apart. That's the church. It's the saved people. Sanctify Christ in your hearts. Where do you put him? Put him in the first place in your heart. We said that earlier, didn't we? The fact of the matter is that we seek God with all our mind, soul, strength, and all of these things will be added to us. Don't have to worry about it. Be not afraid, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. Whose hearts? In your heart. Are you getting the message of all these things? Are you getting the key words as we come through there? Are you getting what the plan is all about? It's a personal plan. It's words that describe a personal plan. It's key words that describe a personal plan and its activity in the life of a Christian. So sanctify, be ready to give an answer. Our English word answer is an interesting word. It's an old British word. It was originally and swear. And they bunched it all up together, took the colon out of it and made it answer. Be ready and swear. Be ready and to give an answer. It's a sure assurance. I don't mean to be redundant, but it's a sure assurance that we give. And the way we give an answer is twofold. We give it audibly, or we give it demonstrably. We give it as demonstrated. You shine as lights in the world, among whom you shine as lights in the world. Let your light so shine before men that others seeing your good works may glorify your Father which is in heaven. You let your light shine, you become stronger and stronger. So then, be ready to give an answer to anybody that asks the reason for the hope that's in you. If you have a hope that reaches off to heaven, is securely attached to the throne of God, you have one of the precious commodities of life. You may have a lot of things that are worth something. You don't have anything that's better than the loving faith that reaches off into the future and attaches itself to what you hope to give, and hope to have when it's all over. That's your hope in God. That's what we're looking for. And then he says, answer with meekness and fear. Meekness is strength under control. Answer with meekness. You got the strength because you got God on your side. But don't push it too hard. Do it with strength and control and with fear. With meekness and fear. That is with reverence for God. Answer with meekness. Speak, Lord, that's meek. Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth. Command, Lord, and I will obey. That's my meek spirit. And then he says, do it with fear, reverence, respect for God, fear or reverence. Well, sanctify Christ as Lord, 2017. We're going to have a bunch of new ones coming up shortly. I'm not going to divulge it yet. It'll be divulged when we have the State of the Church address next month. But it's a beautiful one. It's a beautiful one. It's one that we can work with. And it's got something in it that I want you to get. It's got key words and a plan. That's what the plan's been all the way along. Key words and a plan. What is your impression of these special plans? Have they worked for you? Did you even remember them? They were important to all of us at the time. Were they disregarded by you? Were they disregarded at the end of each year? Or were they added together? That's my point about this lesson. We need to add all those things together. Not just one thing. Not just one time for one year. But one time for a year and another time for a year. And you add it up and it gets bigger and bigger and bigger. And the first thing you know what our plan is? Going to heaven. Our plan is to go to heaven. And we just make the plan bigger and bigger as we go along. So, I'm indebted for Norma keeping those little magnets on her microwave. They're all sticking on there. And that's where this came from. And it made me think about whether or not I've done that. How do you feel about your present disposition? How do you feel about your present position? How do you feel about your present relationship with God? Are you ready to die? Are you ready to give up the whole thing and just give in to a pit of putridity for the rest of your life? Or would you like to come to Jesus? We're going to sing a song. Please give some consideration to your eternity. Give some consideration to where you are in relation to God and Christ and the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. And let the brethren who love you so much help you. Come forward and confess before this wonderful assembly of God's people that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Repent of your sins. We'll be happy to baptize you, immerse you in the water so that the sins will be washed away. You can live in a right relationship with God. If you haven't been faithful, this pile up on you, you better think about it. And if there's something we can do to help you about your coming forward, we're happy to do it. If you owe a duty to God and we can help you in any way at all, right now is the time while we stand and sing.